T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Last night a little dancer came dancing to my door. Last night a little angel came pumping on the floor. Said, come, baby, got a license for love. And if it expires, pray help from above. Because in the midnight hour, she's grown more. With a rebel yell, she's grown more.
I love the song.
In the midnight hour, more.
I got money to burn. Billy Idol is your artist of the day, and good afternoon, everybody. For the first time, and I believe it was 90 days ago.
74, to be exact.
5,436 days ago.
I believe Dana's right.
74.
Sure.
Felt like 5,740.
Now that I can agree with.
That we walked out of this room, never to return again. Why? And by the grace of Jesus Christ and his father, we got an email yesterday at 1:42. I didn't expect it.
And the angels sang. Aww.
And all I heard, I literally was on my email, and as the email came in, it just goes, oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody wants us to do some Real Men later on today. We might do that. I had to move because Dana just gave me this story, and we'll share this here in a second.
Yeah, it's a whopper.
We are doing our final, for the time being, final, until everything from what happened last week in the Lake of the Ozarks kicks in another spike of coronavirus, you idiots. Our final coronavirus, check that, quarantine conversation of the day. Dana does not know who it is yet. I had to move the quarantine conversation to 5:30, but he will join us at 5:35 this afternoon.
Okay.
And I know you like him. Everybody in town knows who he is. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a good cat. He will be your final quarantine conversation for the time being. Story here from...
It's my favorite TV website, and you can't say the first word. Starts with an F.
Yeah, okay. You're right. Should an anchor report... By the way, it is a legitimate source.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Should an anchor reporter be fired or resign from their job because of who they are married to? A group in Minneapolis says yes, and they want WCCO. By the way, WCCO is the Heritage TV station. I think it's a TV station, and there's also a radio station with the same call letters. WCCO anchor. By the way, if this is the radio station, and I don't think it is.
No, television.
Full disclosure, Entercom owns WCCO in Minneapolis radio. WCCO anchor and reporter Liz Collin to resign or be fired because of her husband. Collin, Liz Collin is married.
Yeah, Liz Collin has done nothing wrong.
She's a reporter.
She's a reporter. She's a news anchor. They are demanding she be fired.
Her husband is Bob Kroll, He is the head of the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis, who has been the subject of similar demands to step down in the wake of George Floyd's death for what Minnesota AFL-CIO President Bill McCarthy says is a long history of bigoted remarks and complaints of violence made against him. Kroll, who has been with the Minneapolis Police Department for more than 30 years and is president of the union for roughly five, sent a letter this week to officers commending them for their work during the George Floyd protests. Kroll defended the four officers who have since been charged and fired in connection to Floyd's in-custody death, saying they were fired from their jobs without due process. WCCO has kept Colin off stories that involve the police department, but some think that is not good enough.
Which is appropriate, Scott.
And if, they say if, she needs if, to be fired or resigned from
it, the station. Is appropriate to say to a news anchor, if you are married to the person who's become this story, we cannot put you as a reporter or news anchor on that story. That happens.
Sure.
Happens I don't want to say time. All the time, well, but it comes up from time to
it
time.
It happens when these sorts of things happen.
Yes. Or when a reporter, say, is married to a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably.
You don't cover the courts.
You don't cover the courts.
Yeah.
Keeping her off of the story is one thing. Firing her because her husband is a lightning rod in all of this time in America would be unconscionable. She hasn't done, she's
done
not
wrong.
Him. She hasn't done anything wrong.
That is correct. She married a man who she had no idea would be in the middle, I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
Of this story. She's been kept off of any stories involving the death of George Floyd, tragic as it is. But she's done nothing wrong. Why should she lose her job?
The station even released a statement saying to avoid any potential conflict of interest, Liz has not reported on the Minneapolis Police Department or the Minneapolis Police Union for at least 2.5 years. Her social media pages have been flooded with comments, some abusive, about her husband and his role in city police, with a number of people demanding she be fired. There was actually a protest there either yesterday or today demanding she either resign or be let go.
So I think that's completely unfair.
Can you name another instance where your spouse's behavior, either in work or otherwise, is a threat to your job?
Not off of the top of my head, no.
I wonder if listeners can think of one.
Maybe if you're
married to a serial killer or something, you kind of got to lay low for a while after the arrest.
Yeah, I went straight to politics when you asked me that question. Like, is there somebody who is, you know, politically toxic, where
like an Anthony Weiner, where his behavior would lead to a direct impact on Huma's job or life,
yeah, on your career, yeah.
And it didn't affect her career.
It did not,
nor should it have.
I'm drawing a total blank.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's not reporting on the police department, if she's not reporting on the death of George Floyd, tragic as it is, who cares? She happens to be married to the head of the police union. So what? She's not the head of the police union. She's a reporter.
I'm wondering, in public safety or in education.
Somebody says Bernie Madoff. What do you mean, Bernie Madoff?
His wife lost everything, but his wife lost everything financially.
But she didn't have she wasn't working. She didn't lose her job.
She didn't lose her job. She was just, she's been completely shunned.
And you know, quite frankly, Dana?
That is apples and oranges.
Hmm. 576-7798. You guys tell us, in what other business should you be forced to quit, or people might call for your resignation because of the job your husband or your wife has?
Maybe criminal behavior, Scott. Maybe. If you're in law enforcement and you're married to someone who's...
Somebody writes in Julie Chen. Who is she married to?
Okay. Julie Chen was married to the CBS head of CBS.
Okay.
But I don't know that she lost her job because of that.
Let's find out. It'll be hard to figure out.
Les Moonves.
Les Moonves, yes, that's right. Let me see if she's still employed.
I don't even think they could fire her because of that. I mean, she made that statement one day and said, I stand by my husband. And I thought, God, there's an awkward.
So she's still an American television personality, news anchor, and producer for CBS.
The only possible scenario I could come up with is if you are in law enforcement and your spouse is caught, I mean, really breaking the law.
Maybe. Telephone number here is 576-7798. We got a full board. We'll get to your calls, your comments here in just a moment. Our final quarantine conversation comes up in just a few minutes, 5:35, here on Dana and Parks.
Reception.
Oh, the Rolling Stones.
A glass of wine in her hand.
You're on Dana and Parks.
I knew she was going to meet.
I did think of one during the break. And it
at
is a high-ranking officer in the military. You can... You wouldn't get kicked out of the military. But you can get kind of blackballed, if you will, if your kids break, or your spouse, break a serious law. I mean, I remember when we went to Europe, my mom told us under no uncertain terms, do not screw around over here. You could ruin your father's career. Now, granted, this was back in the 80s. I don't know if it's changed. But we were under no illusion that we could goof off, be stupid, break the law. If we did, Dad would probably get blackballed for it.
Wow.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. Ed in Kansas City. Hello, Ed.
Hey, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed listening to you guys while I worked through the COVID-19 crisis.
God bless you, man. Good to have you.
Good. Hey, one thing I was going to say, you talked about that police officer, the head of the union. Unless laws have changed, in the old days, I used to be an officer of a union. You have to say all the right things and try to do your best to protect your workers if they're union people, because if you don't, you could be sued by them. And I think, if I remember right, they could treble the amount, too, I think. So he's got to say things, whether he believes or not, he's got to say those things.
Yeah. You bring up a really good point, Ed. This police officer who's married to the anchor at WCCO in Minneapolis is doing his job. And sometimes your job, especially if you're the head of a union, is kind of like being a defense attorney or an agent. And even when you think they're wrong, you have to defend them. And it would be not unlike a defense attorney that a person hires, and you know, you're like, dude, you are so guilty. You are the guiltiest human being I've ever met in my life. But the defense lawyer goes into court and he says, we're pleading not guilty, Your Honor. And you're like, what? Well, that defense attorney is, and you know, I hate jokes about attorneys, like, you know, what's a good day? 1,000 defense attorneys on the bottom of the ocean. So dumb. All they're doing is their job.
One.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Dana. All they're doing is their job. You have a right to be defended in court, even if you're guilty. And what this police officer slash union boss is doing is his job. He's defending what most of us would argue is the indefensible, because that's his job. And if I were to go and commit a crime, God forbid, and I get arrested and I end up going to court, I pray to God my defense attorney doesn't go in and go, he's guilty. He's really guilty. Because that's not what I'm paying him for. Lynn in St. Joe. Lynn, what's up?
Yes, I was just listening, and I was watching a certain station the other evening, and, you know, the lady in Minnesota that they're wanting to get rid of her.
Uh-huh.
This person that I saw on this station made it real personal with, I don't want to say the sex or anything of the person, but it was making it very personal, the covering of the protest down in Kansas City. Now, if that person can make it real personal, but they're still with that station, that's kind of like a two-way, you're getting it both ways. You know what I'm saying?
You know, the protests are, it's an interesting example because I don't want to say it's impossible to cover those without feeling something. But, you know, we have had so many journalists over the last 2 weeks who were tear gassed and who were
arrested.
Shot with rubber bullets. We have had several journalists arrested.
Right.
You know, it's.
But this person made it very.
Was this a local station?
Yes.
Yeah, and please don't say who, because I...
No. Yeah. No. I won't do that. I'm not even going to say the person's name. You know?
Yeah.
It just, you know, kind of bothered me that that person can get by with it, but they're wanting to get rid of this reporter just because the husband is with the police department. That's playing it both ways, and I don't think that's right. You know? I mean... Of course, I'm up here in St. Joe, and we, you know, everywhere has its difficulty. But I really want us to all get along. I want everybody to get treated fairly. But if you're going to want to get rid of somebody because that husband, and then when you've got someone doing a reporting and showing their bias, that's not right.
All right, Lynn, glad we got you in. Do appreciate the call. 516-7756. Sorry.
What was that?
It was 516.
Never heard that number.
No, it's a new one. 576-7798. That's also the text line number. You just have to throw a 913 on the front of that. 576-7798.
Little sister, who's the only one? Sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, who's the one you want? Hey, little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Billy Idol is your artist of the day. And we are getting online right now, I believe, our final quarantine conversation for the time being. You know his voice. He's one of the most recognized people in all of Kansas City. The voice of the Kansas City Royals, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Lefevre. Hello, my friend.
There was a little dramatic pause in there, and I wasn't sure you were talking about me at first.
But, what are you doing?
Did you say this is the last one?
This is the last quarantine conversation until we get another spike. Yes.
Was I? Was If we get another spike.
If we get another spike, yes. God willing, we don't. You were the second. Mark Alford was the first quarantine conversationalist.
Mark Alford, okay.
But you were number two, and you will be the final one.
Okay. Gosh, no pressure.
No pressure at all. It's so good to hear your voice.
You better be funny. How are you, my friend? Everything good? Everything good in your world?
Yeah. I'm trying to keep up what's going on and trying to stay off of Twitter and at the same time. I mean, I don't know how you guys do it because it's just so hard to know who to listen to and who's telling the truth. And I imagine you guys have bantied about that quite a bit. But just reaching out to a lot of my Black friends and I've had some really good conversations about, what can I do? What can I do to be better? What might I be doing that I don't even realize I'm doing? And it's just, so I think that's the point of all this is just to start talking. And I've been most touched by the pictures of white police officers just standing at the demonstration and just listening to a Black protester, really listening to what they're saying.
Well, I saw a guy, I remember it was Genesee County, but I don't remember what state it was in. And he was the sheriff, Ryan, and he went out and he's standing in front of all these protesters and he said, "What can I do?
What can I do?
And they started chanting, "March with us, march with us." And he, he's sitting there listening to all this and he looks at the crowd and he goes, "Let's go for a walk."
Yeah.
he walks with them. And he was on Good Morning America today. I'm like, man, what a good cat, just a good human being.
And I think, I don't know if other white guys can relate to this and gals. And I grew up in Los Angeles, which is is one of the great melting pots of our country. It's very liberal, not just in politics, but in thought of just, hey, we're all Los Angelinos here, and you go to this church and I go to this church, who cares? You're this color, I'm that color, who cares? I grew up just afraid of Black cops as I was white cops. So a lot of this for me, it's just from my life experience is just something that I really have to marinate on and think about because I don't have the life experience. And it's so easy for me to say, well, I've got some Black buddies, and I don't treat them any differently because they're Black. And then I'm starting to realize, that's not good enough. That's just a way to get yourself off the hook to say, well, I don't think I'm a racist, and my Black friends, I like them. We have difficult conversations about this all the time. So therefore, I don't have to deal with this. And I think I'm beginning to realize that there's a few more layers that need to be peeled back.
There's more layers to the onion in your life.
Yeah. And you know what? When you peel, and the more layers you peel back of an onion, the more you cry. Because sometimes it's painful when you peel back those, when you get deeper into the onion. That's kind of symbolic of life, too. But, whatever side you stand on in this here, I think the onion needs to be peeled back a few more layers.
We saw this kind of blow up in sports today or overnight, and it doesn't even matter who she was, but someone had made the comment that Drew Brees, can say whatever he wants about what's happening in America, and then she told LeBron James to shut up and dribble the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And if just in a couple of different conversations, you look at that and you see, okay, so what's going on there? Why is it okay for Drew Brees to say what he thinks about all of this stuff? And he doesn't like,
He said, I don't like it when anybody disrespects the flag of the United States.
And then LeBron James was talking
about Colin Kaepernick.
Yep. She said, shut up and dribble. And he actually, I think, tweeted her back and said, do you not see the problem?
Right. I had, here's an experience I had in the last couple of days. I was at a Home Depot and a young Black guy helped me load something onto my truck, and the kids are in the car, and I'm curious right now. I don't want to take a side right now. I just want to hear. I just want to listen. And he was done, and I just said, hey, how can someone like me do better? And He was great. He gave me a talk, you know, we were talking, and he told me a story about, he said a white guy came up to him one time. He said, this was before all this happened. And he said, you know, I just want you to know that I don't have a problem with you people at all. I really don't. And the guy said,
Wait. A white guy came up to him
and said that?
But his intent was a good intent. Like, I don't look at me as someone that has a problem with you. But the way it was worded, it was just like, it was just, you are different from me. And I don't, and so you try to make the statement to make it seem like we're the same. But just the way it was worded,
yeah,
back to the Drew Brees and LeBron James thing, it's like, there's just the way the words come out sometimes is very racially insensitive. Where I'm sure this guy he had good intentions, you know, but the way it came out was way more offensive than it was, you know, helping or healing. And so it was really just good to hear that kind of stuff. That, like, sometimes I think we think we're doing the right thing, and we stick our foot in our mouth.
Yeah, but I'm proud of you for asking a stranger during a casual encounter, you know, at like a Home Depot or whatever, something so sensitive as a discussion about race. Because I honestly, that is hard to do. And I think myself, like, could I just stop and say to somebody that I don't know at all, let's talk about race?
Was it awkward?
No, it was my second one of the day. The first one was a little more awkward. And please don't take this like, you know, running for mayor or anything. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to do my part as a good citizen. But I went to the landfill in East Summit. I'd have thrown away a bunch of my kid's stuff, and my 6-year-old just walked by me and just heard that. So he looked at me like, "What'd you just throw away?"
Everything you love.
There were three black guys, probably in their 20s. I don't know if they worked there or if they were dumping stuff out, but they just came over and they asked me, you need some help? And I said, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. And my first thought was, okay, don't make a big deal out of this. Don't be like, hey, with all this going on, man, I really appreciate you helping me, because then again, you know, my intentions are good, but
right. Maybe
he would have helped. Maybe he would have helped me even if this wasn't going on, you know? So I said the same thing. You know, I said, you know, when we were done, I said, hey, just like I said to the kid at Home Depot, you know, what can I do better? You know, what might I be doing and contributing to the problem, you know? And the first guy said, he goes, just pray, man, just pray. And I said, well, I said, I'm a man. Okay, I'm a man of faith. Like, I pray all the time. You know, what else can I do? And there were three guys in the front seat. They'd gotten back in their truck. And there's three guys in the front seat, and the guy in the middle seat looked at me. And it wasn't a mean look, but he just looked at me like, man, you don't get it. And then he said, he just kind of smiled. He goes, I've been dealing with this my whole life, man. And it was just like, wow. Here our country's burning down with protests and riots and, you know, police brutality and people dying and, I mean, all this stuff. And then, but for some people, it's just like, yeah, well, it's nice that your eyes are open now, because I've been dealing with this my whole life.
Wow.
And that was just like, whoa, okay.
Well, you know, so, what you should have said, Ryan, is thanks for helping me throw away my 6-year-old's love and dreams.
It was a trampoline, by the way, which turned into basically a mixed martial arts arena when they all got in there.
Yeah.
And they got in there, maybe jumping up and down. 5 minutes later, there was blood and streaming. And
well, you know, it used to be called a jump-o-lane until Sam's mom got on it.
God.
Boom.
So how are you guys doing?
This has to be, dude,
a time of your life, of your career, you'll never get.
Well, you know, I told my daughters the other day, it was probably about a month ago, I said, you know, I've been in this news business for like 26 years. I said, this is the biggest story. And by biggest story, I mean, now it's the two biggest stories that I've other than maybe the O.J. Simpson trial, that I've ever covered in my entire
life.
Which
did not affect,
right?
To be honest, the country stopped for 9 months and watched the trial.
Yeah.
But did it directly affect you every single day?
Not at all.
It changed the way the cable companies
Sure, but
followed trials.
Yeah, I mean, it gave John Holt a career at Fox 4. I love him, but you know, John Holt actually started out. He was a lawyer. I don't know if you know this, Ryan.
No,
and,
I did not.
And he's a great guy. I love him. But he was brought in as a legal analyst by Fox 4, and they were like, "Man, he's good looking. He's very well spoken." And John Holt went from being a lawyer to being a news anchor because of the O.J. Simpson trial back in the 90s. Yeah. But,
wow.
But I told
him. Well, here's one for you, not to trump you. This is a conversation for another time. But my mom was her realtor. We lived right up the street. We lived on Bundy Drive, too.
And, no. Wait.
Stop.
No
stop.
Way.
I'm putting you on hold. I'm putting you on hold. We have to get to. I have to pay for Dana's salary. But you are not done
you
with us now.
You lived on Bundy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, you All hang right. on.
All right.
Okay.
Hang on, Cato.
Yeah, listen here, Cato Kalen. You just bought yourself another 10 minutes on this show. Crazy cat. Ryan Lefevre, the voice of the Kansas City Royals, is your... Really? I mean, you want to talk about burying the lead. Come on, Ryan.
Tries to sneak that one in there.
Yeah. By the way, I lived on Bundy Drive.
It's a story for another time.
No, it's not. It's a story for the next segment. Right, we got no time to waste. All right, Captain, bury the lead.
Bundy Drive, what the hell, go.
So, she lived on... I don't know if she was on Bundy Drive or specifically South Bundy Drive. But
she being North your mom, Drive. Right?
No, Nicole. Nicole.
Oh,
Brown.
Nicole Brown Simpson.
So
okay.
Her condo was on, I think it was, can't remember if it was Sunset Boulevard or Wilshire Boulevard that was the difference between North and South Bundy Drive. But we were on North Bundy Drive. She's on South Bundy Drive. And I used to work at a grocery store, Ralph's, and I would skateboard by there every day. I would go by there every day to the grocery store. Well, when I went away to Minnesota for college, my mom and Nicole became friends, and when she moved out and had the condominium on Bundy Drive, he lived on Rockingham, an incredible house, and two doors down from my high school girlfriend's best friend, and so we had heard the stories from them. I mean, most people in that neck of the woods, I mean, we knew that was not a good relationship. I mean, police were there often, and she'd be screaming at him from outside the house. And unfortunately, this was a time when people would just say, "That's too bad," you know. But there just really wasn't much recourse. I mean, what were you going to do about it? And so when this all happened, I mean, a lot of us, and it wasn't a white or black thing at all. I mean, when this all went down, I mean, a lot of us immediately thought that, you know, OJ was involved. But my mom was her realtor. She wanted to move because it was too close to the Rockingham house.
Yeah.
He would drive by and stalk her and pound on the door. And so just two quick little tidbits. My mom became somewhat involved in the investigation. And her claim to fame during the whole thing was, and you all remember this, but I do. One day the investigators went down this back alley, and L.A. went crazy. The helicopters came out. Why are they in this back alley, and why are they looking at all this stuff? And it was my mom who told them if he was driving, or if anybody that knew the neighborhood was driving from Nicole's house to O.J.'s house, they wouldn't have gone up Bundy Drive all the way to Sunset Boulevard and gone west and then turned north on Rockingham and gone to the house. They would have gone this way. So they sent all the investigation trucks out just to see if there was any evidence along that path. And so for a day, my mom steered them in the direction, and all the helicopters went crazy. Why are they looking here? Why are they looking there? But the scary one was, it wasn't until about a week or two later that my mom was out to dinner with my stepdad. And she knew Nicole was really upset and, you know, just wanted to move. And it was just a very tense situation, obviously. And, my mom thought, you know what, back then realtors, and I don't know, they maybe they still do, but they carried their signs in their trunk.
Yeah.
And so she was driving home from dinner, and she said, you know what, on the way home, I should just stop by and just pound this thing in the ground so that she wakes up in the morning and she sees the sign in the ground and she'll know, you know, maybe this should be a relief for her. Okay, you know, the process is going here. We're going to list this house and you're going to move out. But at the last minute, she decided not to do it. Well, it took about a week to 2 weeks for her to do the timing of it, and it was the night that she was murdered. And I don't know if she I don't know if she would have been there at that exact time, but it was. I remember it was frightening enough for her when it hit her that she could have been there pounding a real estate sign in the front yard at 9:30 at night or whatever when you're coming home from dinner. And so, that was a very.
Hey,
personal
man.
Trial for us.
We got to get out of here because we're up against the top of the hour.
Get out of here.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, we're bringing this conversation back.
How have you and I been friends for 15 years? And this is the first time I've ever heard this story. It's probably over 20. Yeah. Now that I think about it, it's 20 years you and I have been friends. And this is the first time I've ever heard this story.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, there's more positive things to talk about than that, maybe.
All right. Hey, I love you, brother. Thank you for joining us, and you are coming back.
Love it. Love it.
All right,
you guys.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Be
thanks
well.
Thanks for keeping us in town.
Amen, brother. Oh, man.
What the heck?
Just happened.
Dropped a bomb.
I mean, he took his microphone and just dropped it on the stage.
That's conversation for another time.
You know, my mom, you know, is Nicole Brown Simpson's realtor.
What
very
the,
close to the hell?
Case.
I was supposed to put a sign in her yard the night she was murdered. Really, Ryan? Really? We got to get out of here. Oh, pot it down. I don't want to pay him. He's got plenty of money. You.
Yes.
It has been a privilege to be in this room with you.
I'm so happy we're back.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I loved it. Oh, I've got a new vigor.
It's good to see your guys' faces, not
good
through
to,
a
good
computer.
Good to see yours, brother. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Stevie III. Oh, 74 days was too long. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow for Festivus Friday. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.